This is the Bloomberg Advantage with Corey Johnson and Carol Masser on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Das Eiberger joins us right now, managing partner at Agecroft Partners, based in Richmond. He's in our New York 1130 studios today, talking about hedge funds and maybe how hedge funds can sort of stand apart from the pack. Don, glad to have you on. I worked at a couple of hedge funds over the years as an analyst and as a portfolio manager, and they had very different approaches to what they were trying to do for their investors and how they were trying to deliver returns. But I'm kind of amazed at how many funds are holding ETFs to just be exposed to certain parts of the market, not doing the actual work of picking out names or taking positions.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people, think the market is efficient, and they think ETF is a good way to get beta exposure to the market without paying high fees. And, you know, if you look at kind of where the demand is shifting within the hedge fund marketplace, the demand is beginning to shift to strategies that don't have a lot of beta. You know, if you look at the beginning of this year, those that had a lot of equity exposure or credit exposure, you know, through the first 2 months of the year got killed. They rebounded a fair amount in March. They're rebounding a little bit in April. But the ones that didn't have high correlation to the capital markets are the ones that provided very steady returns this year, and that's why you're seeing an increase in interest in them.
Yeah, I've a friend who was we went for a walk a few weeks ago, get a cup of coffee, and it was approaching the end of the quarter, so what was it, 4 weeks ago. I said, "So how you doing?" And he said, "Oh, you know, all right." I said, "But what are your numbers like?" And he was kind of hedging, pun intended. He said, "Let me check." And he pulls out his BlackBerry and he says, "Yeah, it was up 12% for the quarter." I'm like, you had to look that up. Of course he knew that. Those kinds of returns are uncommon, though, in the hedge fund business these days.
You know, it's been a very tough quarter for the hedge fund. Larger hedge funds did a lot worse than smaller hedge funds. There's an index called the HFR index. They break performance down both asset-weighted and fund-weighted. Asset-weighted means more money goes to very large managers. And the asset-weighted one was down 2.19, where the equally weighted was down 6.7. I mean, the big problem in the hedge fund industry is there's too many funds. You got 15,000 funds. You know, I think 85 to 90 aren't worth the fees they pay. And the most important thing in investing in hedge funds is to make sure you select good managers and make sure you pick strategies you think are going to outperform.
We have had, you mentioned correlation, we've had such an incredible correlation as the Fed has been, you know, dumping money into the financial system over the last few years. But those days appear to be over, or at least certainly pulled back. And so I wonder if you can look at the historic returns of funds that haven't done well in that highly correlated environment, maybe those historic returns aren't your best guide.
Well, I don't think they are. I mean, a lot of people a lot of people look in the rearview mirror, and you have to look at what current market valuations are in fixed income and equity. And obviously, fixed income is not going to generate the same returns over the next 5 years as it has over the past 5 years as interest rates have come down, spreads have tightened. You know, there's a lot of people who are worried that monetary authorities around the world don't have a lot of dry powder. And if we see another recession, you know, the markets could sell off significantly. So, you know, I'm beginning to see a lot of interest in things like direct lending. You know, marketable fixed income securities, interest rates have come down a lot, but it's difficult for companies to get loans. And hedge funds that do direct lending can get, you know, high single-digit returns, which is a huge spread over what you can get in marketable securities. You know, CTAs are having a big comeback. You know, they've done well 2 years in a row. They did well the first two months of this year. They're not correlated. You know, market neutral equity, I think, is an area that, you know, is beginning to see interest. And you talked about money going into ETFs. People don't like to pay for beta. So people are looking for strategies where managers are actually generating performance based on their skill.
It's certainly a world of different things. Although what we haven't seen, you mentioned CTAs in particular. I mean, these commodity trading advisors is an interesting way to trade, but a really high volatility.
You know, it is a high volatility, but when you add it to a total portfolio that has a lot of equities and fixed income, it actually brings volatility down because it is not correlated with the other asset classes. So, yeah, you're looking at a volatility somewhere between, you know, probably 8 or 9% to maybe 16% if you look at the main CTA managers out there. But again, they do diversify a portfolio. They certainly did that this year. I mean, they did well in January, February when the market sold off, and then they gave back in March when the markets did pretty well.
What about short only? This is the world that I came from when I left that. I've hung up my skates, but my short only friends are telling me they're not seeing a lot of inflows.
You are a brave man. That is a very tough strategy.
I told you I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not that brave.
You know, short bias managers have done extremely well this year. The HFR short bias index was up 7.62%. So you really got to compare their performance to the inverse of the S&P 500. And if you do that, they added a lot of alpha.
And yet, for, again, anecdotally, I'm not hearing about a lot of allocations going in that direction.
It's a very small percent of the marketplace right now. If people start getting worried, that's when the demand for short bias increases.
You would think, given the price, the valuations of the market right now, the price to earnings of the S&P, or even the price to net income of the S&P being so historically high, that there would be more interest in that asset class.
I would not disagree with that. You know, now is the time to be diversified, and now is the time. I don't think you want to load up on equity right now.
So when you met with all these hedge funds, we were speaking this week at the Hedge Fund Marketing Leadership Summit. What is it in the telling the story of what a fund does that money managers need to learn? That is, when they're marketing, what are they not doing right?
Well, so we're going to have a panel that consists of one of the largest public pension funds in the country, one of the largest hedge fund consultants, along with three people that run some of the largest fund of funds in the industry. And what they're going to communicate is and performance is a lot less important than what most people think. You know, they're looking for funds that rank well across multiple factors, you know, that have a strength of organization, that have a depth and breadth of investment team, that have an investment process that can clearly articulate what the inefficiency is they're going after and what their differential advantage is to capture that inefficiency. Risk controls are also important. Don't get me wrong, performance is important, but it tends to be only a screen. You know, for example, if you do a screen of the top 10 highest performing hedge funds, you're left with 1,500. So you got to look at a lot of other things outside of just performance.
Really interesting stuff. Don Silberberg, so glad to have you on from Agecroft Partners, based in Richmond, Virginia, as I mentioned, but in our Bloomberg 1130 studios in New York today. You are listening to Bloomberg Advantage on Bloomberg Radio. I'm Corey Johnson, at Corey TV on Twitter. This is Bloomberg Radio.